So I'd like to talk today with the help of the Lord about the power of vulnerability. I feel like I was reading this week and it seemed like something just began to stand out to me, and seemed like I have several verses I would like to read to us, but would just like to start out by saying that being vulnerable has some very unique characteristics. Number one, just the word vulnerable makes us feel have some reservations. When I write the power of vulnerability on the board, I'm sure there was maybe some question in your mind of what could he be thinking about? because many times strength is depicted as being stoic, as being assertive, commanding. There are a lot of different things that will come to our mind when we think about strength. And yet, there is something that's very powerful that I'd like for us to get a hold of here. I'd like to begin maybe in Psalms 139. We've referred to this psalm many times. I don't know hardly what to do this morning, but I would encourage you all to read this psalm in its entirety. It says, in my Bible, it says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. David didn't write all of the psalms, but there are many of them that are accredited to David. And he said, beginning verse 1, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. So by that verse alone, we could say David feels vulnerable before the Lord. He acknowledges, Lord, you know me. And then he begins to start enumerating how God knows him. He says, thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. You know what I'm thinking. Have you ever run into people that think they know what you're thinking? There's people that can, you know, there was something my mother used to be able to do that was beyond almost, I don't know how she did it. To this day, I don't know how she did it. So I'll tell you a little thing that happened. My brother and I, if you can picture us as little boys, maybe like Declan and a little bit older, we farmed the driveway. We had kind of a dirt driveway that was at my parents' place, and we had several tractors and trucks, and we liked to dig holes. And we couldn't play in the garden, but we would play in the driveway. It's a little hard digging. We liked to find a nail or something to loosen up the dirt, and we would dig holes and move things, dirt around. And we tried to use our little plows and discs. We tore them all up just from trying to make the dirt do what plows and discs do. But you can't farm without water. And we would have a little, find us a little bucket, and we would go to the hydrant that was not attached to the house. We had one kind of out in the yard and behind a fence. And we would, one of us would watch the window to see if Mama was looking out the window, and the other would go to the hydrant to get the water. And we could no more than get water to fill our little pond or lake that we had made, and Mama was out there. You boys, I told you not to be playing with the water. We were already dirty, so what was the point whether we had mud or not? I don't know. But the thing that I'm bringing up is my mother knew, it seemed like the instant the tap opened on the faucet and we got some water. It was her thing. I mean, it wouldn't, today, if my grandchildren come over and they want to get muddy, I don't care. My children, if they wanted to get some water, as long as they didn't leave it running and they just wanted a bucket full to make a little pond, it would have been fine. But not my mama, okay? How she knew that, I don't know, but she did. And David says here, Lord, you know me. You know my ways. You know my thoughts afar off. My mother knew when we was thinking about getting water, I guess. I don't know. I don't know how she did it. But the point I want us to get a hold of here is that God knew David. David knew that God knew that. And he was okay with that. He said, thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. That's vulnerable. And there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid up thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's beyond my ability to comprehend how God knows us as individuals so thoroughly. But I believe he does. We could go on and on. David just continues to elaborate on how God knows him. He comes down in the middle of the chapter, kind of. He says, verse 13, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. He says, Lord, I know that you knew me before I was born. When I was in the process of developing as a little baby, you knew me. David just went on and on. This whole chapter is David saying, Lord, you know me. You know everything. You know my downsitting. You know my uprising. You know my thoughts. You know everything. And he gets down. He knew David's character. He knew his purpose. He knew all of that. Just read it and think about this when you're reading this psalm. And he gets down to the last two verses and he says, search me, O God. And know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So after he spent this whole discourse, all of this whole chapter is about all of the different intricacies of knowledge that God has about he himself, and yet at the very end he invites the Lord to search him. And to see if there's any wicked way. See if there's anything here that would be displeasing to the Lord. And he said, if there is, let me know about it. Lead me in the way everlasting. So that is one of the secrets of the power of vulnerability. Is when we allow ourselves to be searched by God. And acknowledge, Lord, you know what's going on in my head. Better than my mama knew when we were taking water from the faucet in the backyard somewhere. God knows me better than that. God knows all the details of it. But when David, after he knew all of that, he came to the Lord and said, Lord, I want to personally invite you to search me. Search my heart. See if there's anything that wouldn't be acceptable in your sight. And then from that standpoint, I know you know me. You know all about me. I'm inviting you to search me, to test me. And then from there, I'm asking that you would lead me into the way everlasting, in the way that you want me to walk. I want to tell you, that's a powerful position. You know what the Lord has the ability to do in that position? Anything he wants to do. He can develop you into what would be the best for his kingdom. All right? I worked, started out cutting grass when I remember buying my first new riding lawnmower. That's the only one I ever bought, but I bought a new one, not a very good one, but I bought a new one when I was 11 years old. And it lasted maybe a year or so, and I abandoned it and got a better one, but it was an old one. But anyway, that's beside the point. I was cutting grass, and I was probably about 13 or 14 years old at the time. And we had, in our little town that we lived in, we had a politician that lived there. I can't remember today if he was a senator or a House of Representatives. It was just a representative. It was state level. It wasn't a federal politician. But anyway, he lived in this house, and he somehow got my name and anyway, he called my mother. Want to know if I'd come and cut his grass. Well, I went there to that place, and the perimeter of his property was grown up with hedges and trees all the way around. You couldn't even see the house. You could see the roof, but you couldn't really see what the house looked. And inside there was, it was a house, pretty nice house, really, you know, one of those southern mansion-looking places that had the big columns that went up two stories up to the roof, and it was a pretty nice house. And I remember it was like I was being interviewed to be hired on by the FBI or something. It was a lot of questions he was asking me about cutting the grass, and then he wanted to know how much I charged, and I told him my rate, and I cut the grass and told him how much the bill was, and then he held out Social Security out of my, that's what he said he did, and I didn't go back. This fella, there was no vulnerability at all. Why would you let your yard grow up if you had a nice looking house? Why would you let it grow up around the outside? I don't know. Was you ashamed of your neighbors, or was you doing something that you didn't want anybody else to know? I don't know. But I just did not have a good feeling about it. I didn't want to. There was no getting on the same page. He was way above me, and I don't even, you know, in his estimation anyway. But it was a free world, so I didn't go back and cut his grass anymore. I want us to realize how powerful it is to be vulnerable to God and to one another. You know how powerful that is? We want to appear to be strong. I don't think anybody here wants to appear to be a weakling. We want to appear to be strong. We want to have courage in the face of dilemmas and troubles and all of those kind of things. But many times, the way to appear the strongest is to be vulnerable. Now, please understand that I'm not asking you to just start disclosing things that's inappropriate or non-essential, all right? But the less barriers that we have between us and our fellow man, to where they can see us who we really are and see us acknowledge areas that we need to be stronger in, the more powerful our relationships will be. So I'd like for us to look now at Hebrews, the fourth chapter. And this is where I was reading when this inspiration came to me. So I'd like to go to Hebrews chapter 4 and begin at the first verse. Paul writing here, writing to Hebrews. Hebrews was his people. was it not? He was a Hebrew. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, he said about himself. If anybody had a right to toot their own horn and feel self-sufficient and all of that, Paul did. Paul had been trained by the best, and he was a good student. He was an intelligent man. He's very capable in many, many things, and yet, let's listen to what he had to say here. Verse 1, let us therefore fear. Fear, that doesn't sound very strong, does it? That sounds like you're being vulnerable. For you to look on me and say, I don't believe Brother Danny is afraid of anything. But then if you hear me talk and I say, you know, there's things that causes me to be afraid. That means that I'm being vulnerable. And I'm allowing you to see something that causes me to have reservation and has hesitation. And the Paul says here, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. So he's saying there needs to be a level of fear and vulnerability about missing out on something, missing out on a promise. He says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word, and it'll become more apparent as we read, but who them were was the Old Testament dispensation. The gospel has been preached to us just like it was to them. They had an opportunity to know God. He said, but the word preached did not profit them, not being with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Why didn't they enter in? They didn't have enough confidence. And Paul says here, let us therefore fear lest we, being left a promise, we fail to enter in. We need to be vulnerable here. Well, my mother used to say that, I don't know if it was me or my brother or maybe both of us when we were small, she was trying to help us tie our shoes. And one of our expressions was, me do it. I was going to do it myself. Now, when you're really young, you need some help. And she obviously was probably trying to help me because she was in a hurry to do something. But I was determined to do it myself. Many times we have to realize that we need to be vulnerable. We need to allow others to see and to understand and to help. He said, again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For as Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? How different would the world have been, as we talked in our Sunday school lesson, if the spies would have come back and unanimously said, we are more than able. Let's go in. There's a few fellows over there that's big, but they're in the minority. There's a few giants, but the land, the promised land, it's wonderful. Look at the grapes we brought back. There is pasture land running out to our ears over there. Let's go get it. If they would have entered in, if they would have wholly possessed the land, how different would history read today? You know, people are trying to constantly change history now. They're going back and digging up dirt on ancestors and rewriting our history books. If you don't believe me, go read Wikipedia and compare that to your Encyclopedia Britannica. It reads different. How different would it be if people would have accepted what God had for them in the Old Testament? He says, "There remaineth therefore rest to the people of God." Paul said, "Don't let us therefore fear lest we miss out on the promise." He says, "For he that entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick." Now listen close. "The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Does this sound similar to David's perspective? David said, "You know my downsettings, you know my uprising, you know the thoughts and intents of my, you know how I operate. You knew me before I was fully formed as a little child." And Paul said here, "The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide between" what? "The soul and the spirit, and the joints and the marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." I told you that somehow my mother was able to discern when we went for the water hydrant. I don't know how she did it. I don't know how God knows all of your thoughts and all of my thoughts. I don't know how he understands the thoughts and intents of what our motives are and all of that. But I believe he does. There's too many people, we don't hardly know how to write the number big enough to how many people there are in this world currently. But to think about God knowing the thoughts and intents of all by everybody, we don't have the software or computer in our world that could even begin to assimilate all of that data. But I believe God's bigger than that. He's capable enough to do all of that. That's Paul's perspective. That's a pretty vulnerable position, would you agree? David was in a pretty vulnerable position to say all the things that he did about how much God knew about him. Paul's saying the same thing. But listen how Paul takes that. He says, "Neither is there any creature that's not manifest in his sight." Verse 14, "Seeing then we have a great high priest." This is where the power comes in. "Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." Don't turn it loose. Don't allow something to get away from us. Don't become self-sufficient is the plea here. "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Jesus is touched with the feelings of our infirmity because he knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. He's touched his ability to discern why you feel the feelings that you feel. When you feel disappointed and you feel rejected and when you feel discouraged and when you feel all of those negative things that might come to your mind and whatever label you want to put on it, he knows how to feel that feel. You understand what I'm saying? He knows how our brain works. He knows what affects our emotions. And he knows when we're hiding behind a facade of sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. That's a lie. And we know it is. He knows when we're keeping a stiff upper lip and we're not allowing our emotions to show. And He knows when we're too emotional and we're making mountains out of molehills and whimpering and looking for sympathy when really we're just trying to get somebody to do something we don't want to do. He knows all of that. He knows our infirmities. Listen to verse 16 and carefully apply it to our lives. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know how powerful that is? You may say, well, I don't want to talk to brother and sister so-and-so about the difficulties I have in life. They know too much about me. Maybe that's the one we need to go and talk to. Maybe that's the one we need to say, look, y'all know my down sittings, my upright. You know where I'm weakest. You know where I've been a basket case, and you know where I've been too self-sufficient, and you know all of those things about me, and I need some help in my life. I need you to pray with me. I need the Lord to do something special for me. I want to tell you that there's power in being vulnerable. I don't want everybody to bring your checking account balance and lay it out on the table back there. And I'm not asking you to start telling us, testifying about birthmarks or anything like that. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about us being vulnerable to one another and to the Lord. Being willing. The Lord knows all this about me, you see. But Paul says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. He already knows. He knows really what would help me, not what somebody else perceives. I don't feel like I'm very perceptive sometime. And I might pass judgment on something and be completely off the mark. Well, they just need to straighten up, and they need to do this or they need to do that. But the Lord knows, because we're vulnerable before Him whether we like it or not. And the more that we allow the hedges to come down between us emotionally, say, I need some help. I need some of your strength. I need somebody to help me conquer this battle that I'm facing. I think you will find there's more and more power available to us. I know that you know this, but I'm going to say it anyway for the benefit of the thought this morning. But secret lives, secret personal lives and activities never produce honor and esteem. Think about that. Secret personal lives and activities never produce honor and esteem. Secrecy produces scandal every time. It doesn't matter if your name is Thomas Jefferson or Tiger Woods. Secrecy produces scandal. You want to get out your old, get you an old encyclopedia, you know, back in the 60s or maybe early 70s publication day. Read all you can about Thomas Jefferson and then go to Wikipedia and read it. And you'll find out there's a lot of difference. They've been digging up dirt, literally. They've been digging up dirt around his place out there in Virginia or wherever it is. And history has changed because they've been digging up dirt. I'm not saying it's not true, but secrecy produces scandal. That's what I'm telling you this morning. Vulnerability produces power. When I'm willing to live a life before my fellow man like I live it before the Lord. You want to find out what I'm doing on the weekends? I don't mind telling you. You want to find out where I was? You want to find out how I live on the job, when I'm on vacation? The more vulnerable we are, folks, the more powerful our testimony will be. I would like to turn to something Jesus said over here in Matthew, the 6th chapter. Sermon on the Mount. We all know Jesus had a lot of good things to say on the Sermon on the Mount. But he said something. He used a phrase twice, or at least it's translated twice for us, pretty much word for word. And the first time is in the 6th chapter in the 8th verse. It says, "Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him." And the phrase that is repeated is, "Your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him." He said it here in relationship to how a person ought to pray. And he was given some sound instruction of how we ought to pray. Don't pray the same words over and over again. Don't try to make a big show. And then he goes after this verse. He said, "After this manner pray ye," and we know what that says. I'm not going to go into that. But the Lord knows. You believe that? The Lord knows. I'm vulnerable before him, whether I like it or not. He knows more about me than my mama knew when I went to the hydrant to get a bucket of water so I could make a little pond. He knows me better than that. He knows what I need. And Jesus gave some counsel about how we ought to pray. Don't try to do a prayer that would earn some kind of award in academics. Pray from the heart. He knows what's in the heart anyway, but pray from the heart. And then he said it again. And down towards the end of the chapter in verse 32, I'll read that one. He says, "For after these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things." What's he talking about here? He's talking about the temporal things that we have in life: shelter, food, clothing, transportation, those things that we all have a need of. He knows about that. And he knows that he can help us in achieving the things that we need to provide for our own homes. And he's cautioning them to not be overly anxious about providing all of those things ourselves. You know, the enemy would like us to get us so caught up in succeeding that we fail, like Paul said, "Let us therefore fear lest the promise that's left." Lord, help us to not abandon our soul for the sake of prosperity. Lord, help us to not abandon the promise that we can have a real relationship with Him. He knows. He knows that I need electricity. He knows that I need transportation. He knows that I need a roof over my head. He knows that I need a little money to buy the things that I need in life. He knows all of that. Lord, help me to come boldly. He knows it anyway. The more we tear down barriers and become vulnerable, the more powerful it'll be. It is with God. You ever tried to tell God all the details that He needed to do for you and realize this? Why am I saying all of this? God knows all this anyway. I don't need to tell Him I need rain, but I do, because I feel like He says men ought always to pray and not to faint. Lord, help us to not be weary in well-doing. And help us. I have another experience, and I'll share this with you. I'm being vulnerable here. I had a situation in my work environment, been a number of years ago, and I felt like I was being taken advantage of. I still do. Okay, I'm being vulnerable. I still feel like I was being taken advantage of on the job. So I went to the owner's office, and I went in and sat down, and he looked up and asked me what was on my mind, so I told him. And I basically told him that with the things that I am expected to do and perform, that I needed a raise. And if he was going to pay somebody else more money, he needed to pay me more money. And I just got up and left. And I got a raise. You know how close I felt with my owner, the owner of the place? Not very. There were some barriers there. I'd went in there and been very direct. And he got a response. But, you know, I don't know if there was a better way to handle that situation. But we come to the Lord. We can't come to the Lord and say, Lord, look, I've lived for You for X number of years, and I need some more money in the bank. I expect it to happen by Monday. What's the chances of that working out very good for us? Not very. But you know, the Lord's promised that we wouldn't go without. He's promised to take care of us. He wants us to be diligent. This is not the message about being diligent. This is a message today about being vulnerable and being willing to embrace what He knows about me and then come boldly to the throne. Lord, You know exactly where I am. You know why my emotions are what they are. You know why I feel discouraged, and You know why I feel like I can't hardly hold my head up, or You know the things that I'm wrestling with. I don't know how else to say it, but there is a powerful element when we can come to the Lord and say, Lord, this is exactly how I feel. Not tell Him what we need, just tell Him this is exactly what's going on in my head. This is exactly where I need some help here. You know what it is, whether it's a feeling of anger or if it's a feeling of discouragement or whatever it is. This is who I am today. This is who I am, and I need some help. That's a powerful place to come. That's a powerful place to be. And the Lord will respond to that. He will help us right there. I want us to be willing to be vulnerable to the Lord. And I want us to be willing to be vulnerable to one another. I want us to be willing to share. are not just keep it all close to our chest, so to speak. That's another expression of someone that's not vulnerable, is they keep it close to their chest. I want us to be vulnerable. There's a lot of power there. There's a lot, you know, you want somebody to stand up for you, be vulnerable to that person. And they'll be willing to say, look, don't overload them with that. Don't take that trouble to them. They don't need that right now. I just want us to consider the thought this morning. You pray for me. I want to be vulnerable to the Lord first and foremost, but I want to be vulnerable to you folks too. I want you to be able to, I want us to have the power. If we can get the picture of the power that comes from being vulnerable to the Lord, I believe our relationships can be more powerful too, as well. You pray for me.